Hey guys, welcome to the Patreon mailbag of the Pod Strickland podcast network. I'm Drew. Schwinn's not here. He decided to take a break for whatever the hell the reason is. So I have a very special guest joining me. It's not Jeremy, thank God. Someone even better. He was the host of the original Pod Strickland back in, we'll say, like 2004. He wrote for Posting and Toasting. Maybe he still is. I wouldn't know. He does stuff for the Strickland as well. He was the inspiration behind all the Strickland art. And it is my best friend, John Shulman, a.k.a. Aitho. What up, Stink?
Hey, man. Regular shit. Happy to be on the Pod Strickland show. I'm sorry that this is behind the paywall. I wish the whole world was free for you.
This is. Yeah, so just keep in mind, folks, this is going to be potentially interesting. Zencaster has us on a nice little delay, which is wonderful. So if things are a little off, we do apologize. If our producer fixed it all up for you and none of this means anything, then he's amazing and you should
follow him on Twitter.
Give more money to us. Yeah, follow him on Twitter at
twitter.com
at Pod Strickland producer.
I have no idea.
There you go. That's his at. So Stink, this is what we do and what we're going to do is I'm going to read off all the Discord questions that we received. Folks, if you are listening to this and not in the Discord, we have a little channel where we ask everyone, mailbag questions. That's where we get the source from. And it's like our own little community there. So thank you. Enjoy. You enjoy the Discord?
Yeah, make duty jokes.
That's true. There's a lot of poop jokes and a lot of complaining. That's pretty much it. So let's just get right into it. Since we are doing some late night potting and we had some amazing technical difficulties for like 30 minutes. So, first question. Oh, wait, no. Before we get to the questions, I need to do a bunch of promotional stuff. And so, so Alex doesn't...
Tricky dicky.
Right? Yeah, Alex will yell at me if that was... if we didn't do this. So, we have a promo code out there. Stink, did you hear about this?
Yeah, man. I know all about it. I know everything before it happens.
Yeah, so we have... So, if you go to TicketIQ.com and you use the promo code Strickland, you will get $10 off your order. That is $100 or more. And honestly, if you're going to a Knicks game in New York, you'll easily get that hit that threshold. And if you are not already, we have tons of different Patreon levels. If you visit us at thestrick.land, you can access it right away. Just listening to us, you can join the Discord if you want. You should have access to that. We have, a $3 tier, a $6 tier, $9 tier. If you really, really want to get funky, you can give us $100 a month. If you want to just give us more than $100, that's fine too. Stink and I will give our Venmos and our, what's the other one? Our Cash Apps at the end of the pod if you just want to give us money.
I think you could pay me straight on Twitter now, man. You could just go to my Twitter and just start paying me for some reason.
You can get money on Twitter now?
My tip jar.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I think I have a tip jar.
Yeah, there you go. So if you just want to just give, Stingy some money, just use the tip jar. He'll really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll do a YouTube reaction video for you over... whatever you want, a cool song, a bad song.
Why don't you do a reaction?
I'll do YouTube reactions for you.
You need to do a reaction video of a reaction video.
I'll do that. No problem. I could do whatever you want.
There we go.
You just got to pay me.
Yeah, just pay him a lot of money. So I think I covered all the promotional
stuff. Promo code Strickland.
Yeah, promo code Strickland on Ticket IQ. Don't forget that. You won't, because I'm going to force it in as many times as possible.
That's Ticket IQ, promo code Strickland. Ticket IQ, promo code Strickland. It's easy. You can't forget it. You're here. You pay for a Strickland. You want to go to Ticket IQ and get your tickets? Type in the code Strickland.
Yeah.
That's STRICK land.
Yes, and that's $10 off a $100 purchase, which is pretty much now the price of nosebleed sections at MSG. So you're all set. All right, Stink, you ready for questions?
Yeah, it's the recession special. Can't wait. Ready. Born ready.
All right. We're starting off. So I'm just going to go in order. So if you hear names repeated, it's because they decided to ask multiple questions. So first question is from Max Julian. He asks, is RJ Barrett the best Knicks draft pick of the last 3 decades? Stink?
3 decades? Oh, man. So I should have researched.
3 decades.
They didn't draft Pablo Prigioni.
So it's basically the 90s. No.
What year is this? 22? So 22, 22, so it would be 02,
the
90s, 92?
The aughts and the... Oh, wait, no. So we're in a current decade, so it's the 2020s. So it would be the 2020s, the 2010s, and the 2000s.
No.
We're really good at math here, as you can see.
No, it's not coming across. So 1992 to 2022 is 30 years, if I'm...
Okay, we'll do that. Okay, there.
And so, yeah, the answer is yes, that's correct. Next question.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't. There's really no one else, unless you want to say that Clay Anthony Early was one of the best draft picks, but no, there isn't anyone.
I mean, it could have been on our test. They messed that one up. I'm just pulling up.
They messed up a lot of picks. It could have been.
I'm pulling up the basketball reference here. What are you pulling up? So all their draft picks going back to 1992 was Hubert Davis. 94, Charlie Ward and Monty Williams.
Yeah, no, definitely not him.
Dante Jones, Walter McCarty. Oh, he's got a case. John Wallace. He was at front court. He was center court the other day, so he's got a case. John Thomas, Sean Marks, your man in Brooklyn. DeMarco Johnson, J.R. Koch, the boy, Frederick Weiss, LeVar Postel, Donnell Harvey, Eric Chenoweth. Oh, God, was it, yeah. Eric Chenoweth? Big question. No. Michael Wright? Michael Wright?
What about Marcin Lampe?
Nah, it wasn't him. He's close. Mike Sweetney? No. Trevor Ariza? He's almost got a case, but he doesn't. Marty Collins does not have a case. No, come on, man. This is very uncomplicated. Honestly?
Yeah, it's got to be RJ, because we're talking now, then we're leading into Shumpert and Jordan Hill. And those guys, maybe Danilo Gallinari as a case, but that would probably be it.
Yeah. I mean, and of course, like, these players have had longer careers at this point, so, like, they have more to say, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. and RJ has so much further to go. But, yeah, I mean, the Knicks have not made a good draft pick in 30 years. That's pretty easy to say.
Yeah, I feel like RJ is,
like, the last... surefire good pick was Rod Strickland. I mean, so obviously the stick figure in Dallas he's got a case.
Nah, fuck him.
But he doesn't. Frank Ntilikina also has a case, but he doesn't. And then you're like, we're talking about Obi Toppin. And I mean, come on, man.
All right, RJ.
I don't think so. And quickly, I mean, I guess you have to consider quickly.
I feel like we could say RJ.
But yeah, I mean, RJ has shown enough. Yeah, RJ has shown enough on both ends. I know he's not playing great. He had a great game the other day, but he's not in general playing great. But whatever, he's a kid. So grow up.
All right, we're moving on to the next question. This is from Mikey Cooks. He asks us on our thoughts on the dollar slice of pizza now being $1.50. In case you're not from New York City, the big thing is dollar slices, and apparently they're now $1.50. And that's awful. That's all I have to say. Stink.
That's fine. Whatever. It's the recession special, effectively. It's $1.50. I mean, come on, man. You can't even get on the train for $1.50.
Yeah, but who carries 50 cents on
that? Just got pony up. Times are tough. Who carries money even these days? Not as many. Even drug sales are on Venmo these days. Come on, man.
Yeah, but the people who are getting a dollar slice are using cash. That's the whole point of the dollar slice.
How do you know?
That's true. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but like, it sucks, but like, whatever.
I think it's a scam.
It's also a dollar slice. Like, you should really just go ahead and get a $2 or $3 or even $5 slice. I know it sucks, but hey, you want a good slice, go ahead and get one. You want a shitty slice, you pay for the shitty slice. That's fine. And I'm not even trying to denigrate a dollar slice. I like a dollar slice. I like all slices, generally.
Okay.
But I digress.
All right, moving on to the next question. This is from Max Julian again. He is asking us, is Alan Hahn a dick for not wanting to work out with Doug? So, Stink, do you know any of the background to this question?
Negative.
Okay, so for those who are not regularly in the Discord, I shared a story that when Schwinn and I were doing the Pod Strickland podcast, I think it was Pod Strickland, Alan Hahn came on the show because he wanted to really argue why the Knicks should go after Russell Westbrook. That was the big thing. And when we were prepping for it, Alan Hahn noticed that I had a Peloton in the back of my camera. Then we started talking about the Peloton. We exchanged usernames and we were going to work out and do Peloton workouts together. But then he decided to actually not follow me back and has never done anything with that. And yeah, he's a dick for doing that. That's what it is. I should have known better that he was just shooting the shit, but that's what happens when I'm a genuine person. I thought he was being serious because, yeah, so that's the backstory, Stank.
Why? I mean, all right, bet. I who cares about Alan Hahn's Pelotons? Come on, man. Who cares?
I care, man. He said he was gonna do workouts with me. We're gonna do the 30-minute, you know, hip hop ride.
All right, bet. And then do you get to hit the showers together afterwards?
I mean, if he wants to.
This is too weird. I mean, go ahead, man. I'm not even trying to shame anybody, but I mean, I wouldn't want to be friends with Alan Hahn, so there you go.
All right, fair enough. Speaking of showers, Schwinn decided to ask a question instead of answer a question. Right now, he asks, shampoo or conditioner?
Shampoo or conditioner?
Yeah, that's what he's asking.
For what?
That's all he's saying.
Like, do you only use one?
I guess.
I mean, I guess I'll go shampoo then.
I mean, I would go conditioner. You're not supposed to wash your hair every single day, so you should be like conditioning it more than you are shampooing it because shampoo dries it out. But yeah, I guess that's what he's talking about. But Schwinn doesn't strike me as someone who's cares what shampoo he uses or conditioner. Schwinn doesn't use conditioner in his hair. There's no way.
Oh, he definitely does a 2-in-1. He's like, he's got the Pert Plus, like 3-in-1 body wash, hair, and all that shit. Yeah. I don't wash my hair daily, so I'm going shampoo because I'm going to get it clean when I do it. So
there you go.
There's your answer, Schwinny shampoo.
Yeah, Schwinn definitely uses the three and run. I agree with that. He's not gonna like us saying that, but you know it's true.
Comes across every week. That's what I think when I listen to the show.
All right. Next question is from ZMP323. If you were Tibbs, what are some scheme changes you would make on both offense and defense to better play to this team's strengths? So Stink, you're becoming Tibbs, you're balding, you're doing the little comb over with the three strands of hair to make it seem like you're covering up everything. You're the coach of the Knicks. What are some scheme changes you're making?
I mean, so first and foremost, he's gotta get a baldy. He's gotta just bick it off.
Yep.
And just have the shiniest dome in NBA history. Just go for it. But I mean, I think, you know, one thing that made them look terrific in preseason was the effort to play fast, and they do not play fast anymore. They slow it down. They initiate offense half the time when there's 14 seconds left. Like, you just wasted 8 seconds or whatever, 10 seconds getting it across half court. And then, all right, everybody, you in your places? All right, cool. I'm going to start the play. And then it's an ISO, you know? So I think an effort to do hit aheads, do some little pistol action, play fast, get up the floor quick. I know he doesn't really seem to think that that's a valuable tenet of basketball, or maybe he does, but he just doesn't seem to give them the keys to just get out and run. I mean, I think that's one reason why Obi struggles to stay on the floor. Like, he doesn't sit in there and box out, and he's been doing well the past few games, but you know, he leaks out and it gets easy buckets in transition, something the Knicks generally really struggle to get. But yeah, one tactical move would definitely be to pick up the fucking pace, man.
Do you know where the Knicks rank in pace so far this season?
Inside your butthole.
Hey, yo!
Yeah, no, exactly. Know. They're ranked last. They're last in pace. Well, they're tied for last with pace with the Mavericks at 95.6.
Yeah, not shocked. But they have, like, the best ISO scorer, arguably, in the game, so... Like, it's a little more tenable for them to play that way.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. I do, to build on what you're saying for the changes, at least for offense, is starting Obi, right? Like, that would be the one thing. Like, you start Obi, you start IQ, you start running. Like, that is something that this team should be, because RJ's better in transition. Randall's actually good in transition because he's really difficult to stop, but he never wants to run, but like just forcing everyone to run would be huge for the Knicks on offense. And defense, if you start Obi and IQ, you can pretty much switch everything. And I think that's what the Knicks should be doing, because the centers haven't been as good in drop. So I think I would just like switch everything and just go from there. That would be my defensive change, because I think Randall's a better perimeter defender than he is inside. So if you can switch him on the perimeter more, I think that's better for him and better for the team.
Right on, Don.
All right. We are going back to Max Julian. He asked us a number of things. So he first asks, what do you think Obi did or does to never get minutes he deserves? And then he asks, assuming we can't shoot the moon, what are some potential trade targets at the point guard position who are both realistic and good enough to make Tom Thibodeau not play Burks at point?
I don't know what Obi did. I mean, I guess what Obi did is Obi is a nice young man, and he doesn't have the cold heart of Coach Tibbs. He hasn't been hurt deeply and profoundly enough to earn the respect of Coach Tibbs. Obi is too nice. And as a result, Thibodeau needs to punish him and make him feel terrible and mess with his head and make sure that he knows that he's dog shit. And maybe once he knows he's dog shit, he can get a couple minutes.
Okay, what about point guard? You got any ideas? I don't think there's anything that could stop point Burks at this point.
Oh, man. No. I mean, I just don't think Tibbs respects people in general, especially young people. I think he has a hard time with that. I mean, that's why, like, RJ comes across, like, he came into the league as, like, you know, the quintessential professional player, and he's gonna be a long time pro and blah blah blah. But you know, if you haven't been through the, if you haven't been face down in the muck, you get no respect from Tibbs, no love. And as far as like a realistic target, I mean, nobody especially interesting. I guess you look at the Pacers and the Kings, right? They're the teams that are, you know, potentially going to blow it up, so to speak. So that's what, Brogdon, maybe that's Fox. But like the pathway to get there, I'm not, you know, I'm not, what is it? The Picasso of the trade machine or some shit. So
yeah, it would,
yeah, I'm not certain. I mean,
no, I was going to say that I think the only real, not like realistic, but like if the Knicks decide to trade for De'Aaron Fox, that would prevent point Burks from happening. But then it creates the question of, do you actually want De'Aaron Fox as your starting point guard?
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. Yeah. It's just like, I don't know if that's the case, but, yeah, unless Kemba and Rose are getting healthy, like he's playing point Burks. He just doesn't see anything with Quickly right now. And same thing with Obi. I think he just thinks they're either too young or he's holding them to some insane standard. But like, I wish I had a better answer for those, but like point Burks is staying with the point guard injuries. Like it's happening and it sucks, but we have to live with it until something like significantly shifts.
Yeah. As long as IQ and Obi experience joy, Tibbs is going to cut them down.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
Sounds about right. So, we're moving on to the next set of questions. This is Jax365 asked a bunch of questions, and, I do want to ask first, Art Stink, are you familiar with Ariana Grande?
I think my wife gets that at Taco Bell.
Oh, jeez. I wish I had my sound machine, my terrible sound machine to boo you for that joke.
Oh, what? A Grande? Is this Supreme?
I don't know. Anyway, here's the question he asked. Ariana Grande's 2018 hit song, Thank You Next, describes her past relationships and what made her the woman she is today. So which three current or former Knicks players taught you love, taught you patience, and taught you pain?
Current or former, yep. You said? Love, patience, and pain. Love. Pablo Prigioni taught me love.
Okay.
Patience. I was patient and the Knicks are not. So
you taught yourself patience.
And then pain? Yeah, I had to teach myself patience by watching the Knicks just like toss it all out every couple of years. And then pain. Man, there's so many. There's so many. There's too many.
Pick one. Just pick one person who's just like that. Just you think about this person, you just feel it in like your gut. You're just like, this sucks.
Marty Collins.
Okay. That's a good one. Love would be, for me, Frank Ntilikina. Patience would be Frank Ntilikina, and pain would be Frank Ntilikina.
Man, I didn't see that coming.
I know. It's right there, though. He teaches you love him, you try to be patient with him, but then he just brings you pain because like he couldn't put things together, and now he's in Dallas putting things together. It sucks.
Yeah, good for him. The kid looks sharp.
Yeah, he has a defined role now. It's shocking what that does for a player.
Tibbs would never allow it. Fizdale would never allow it.
Never. Absolutely never. All right, so Jack has a couple more questions, and he is going to ask, is it good RJ has the most 30-plus point games for a Knick under 21, stealing it away from he who will not be named? Then also, does that emphasize that he needs better reps and not just standing in the corner watching Randall? So Do you know who he?
I mean, it's not Larry Brown, but it is Larry Brown. But so it's Chris Stapps, yes. Right? So, is it good? Yeah, it's good. Does it matter? No. And then does he need more reps instead of Randall?
It was more of like, he's basically asking, should RJ have more on ball initiation compared to standing in the corner waiting for Randall to initiate? Mm-hmm.
Got you. Yeah. I mean, it depends on how you view the team. So for me, I would say yes, because I view the team as, you know, not especially good. Not terrible. They're in that middle zone where, you know, they're too good to be bad and not good enough to be any good really at all. But as a result, I think, you know, you look around the team and it's predominantly young players that do not get reps. And I mean, I guess you want to give it at least a half season. I mean, probably Tibbs wants to give a few seasons to these guys to help them coalesce and really come together to be the best version of themselves that he sees. But yeah, I would just not give the keys to RJ. He's definitely not the best player on the team, but definitely incorporate him more. And I think they do sometimes, but in the idea of focusing on it and just giving RJ the keys essentially more, you probably will lose more games because some teams will just have them figured out. But he'll learn and grow from those. So yeah, it's fine with me. Get a better draft pick.
Yeah, I'm with you in that. You got to see how you're viewing the team, right? Because if you're just like, this team's not that good, they're not last year, they have young players, just play them, then yes, RJ should definitely get more reps on the ball, see what he can actually do in terms of initiation, see what they got there. If you think that Julius Randle is going to magically become all NBA Julius Randle like he did last year, then you want him on the ball. But it's kind of where you're seeing with this team. So speaking of like who's on the ball, who's off the ball, our buddy Vivek is asking us, why is Tibbs allergic to off-ball movement?
I mean, the team is really constructed to be, you know, hang out over there. I got this. It's a lot of ISO scores. I mean, I guess, you know, that was kind of the main criticism, right, at the end of the season in the Atlanta series, right, where Bullock can't do anything with the ball in his hands. He could shoot it if he's got it, but if he doesn't have it, then he can't shoot it, and he definitely can't put it on the floor. So they, I think, emphasized ISO scoring, and, you know, Kemba needs the ball, Fournier needs the ball, Burks needs the ball, Rose needs the ball, Randall needs the ball. Randall moves the ball with temerity, but it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone else is like, yeah, I like passing. Let's really move the ball as fast as we can. And you see it with Obi, where the ball starts to move side to side a little more, and then off ball movement does start to, you know, unfold a little bit more easily as, you know, spacing just becomes a little more obvious. But I think it's just Tibbs wants and perhaps even excels with ISO scorers. So they stocked stacked the deck with ISO guys. And, you know, for what it's worth, they got some good ones, but no great ones. So it's that's why the team is, like I was saying, just like they're mediocre at best.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think this is necessarily a Tibbs issue as much as we want to say it is. And, you know, he's like, hey, he's the coach, you got to get them to do off ball things. I don't think this roster is truly constructed for any sort of like significant off ball movement, because like, it's it's basically Obi quickly has some skill. RJ has some skill in terms of like cutting, but there isn't like tons of players on this team who you think are like, oh, he's really great at navigating around a screen and slipping things to get open. Like this, that's not what this team is. So like, you're not really get Fournier and Kemba to be like coming off any sort of like, I don't know, pin down or anything like that. Like, I just, that's not what this team is. So I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, even if it happens, they have players with sticky hands. So, you know, Fournier will come up off that curl and then not get the ball. And then if he does get the ball, he's like, oh, well, you know, I have it, so let me back out a little bit. I'm not going to pitch back to whoever. I'm not going to swing the ball. Definitely not going to do that. I'm going to let the defense set, and then I'm going to go do a little kind of like scoop floater from 11 feet, and maybe it'll go in if I'm hot, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I think a big problem with the team is that there's no plus passers, really. And as a result, you know, that ball doesn't move and the players don't move.